Well, today I've got I've got a laptop, I've got a note. Are you ready? Are you ready? I've got a laptop, I've got my notes. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you and bless your name for the work that you are already been doing in this place. Lord, we want to remain in that spirit. We want to remain in that walk because we want to see your glory in our lives, in this place, Father, in this town. So we ask, Holy Spirit, may you come and help us. I commit myself to you. Let my spirit yield and my everything yield to what you want to do this afternoon in this place. But Father, I pray that your power may be released, your grace, your love. Father, we want to see your miracle. We want to see captives set free. We want to see the multitude, the thousands and thousands and thousands coming to you, Lord. We want to see every single home, house, person, Lord, in this town coming to you. Because this is why you have given Jesus. So we thank you. And we give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say thank you to Andrew, Reverend Andrew, you know, for putting me under pressure here right now. He meant to start, and I meant to kind of say a few words to finish. But he's so humble and obedient, and so he said. No, he didn't say that. But let's see what the Holy Spirit wants to do to this afternoon. We've got about, we're still in the morning. Okay. How are you? Are you good? Are you blessed? Do you know that God wants to use you? Do you know that? Do you know that God wants to use you? Very few people are convinced about that. Do you know that God wants to use you? You know, I believe that God wants to use us. I believe that, you know, we are in a very specific, very special season, very defining season where God is kind of repurposing and redefining and reaffirming he's a sort of, you know, wanted to move with us with power and wonders in a way that nobody have seen before. You know, every single day when I wake up or when I'm confronted with these thoughts, with this reality, I say, Lord, I am ready. But you see, this scripture we've got here says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, but my Spirit, says the Lord. So I say this to God almost every time. Lord, help me by your Spirit. I want to be a vessel in this time. Can we say that together? Help me, Lord, by your Spirit. I want to be your vessel in this time. I am willing in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you remember last time I spoke here, I had the privilege of having my sister-in-law from France here. Paulette, tu peux te lever, on va te saluer. You know. She said she can't miss my ordination. So she's here. Thank you for coming. So if you remember last time I spoke, we were talking about the role and the role and the work of the Holy Spirit in mission. We talk about the role and the work of the Holy Spirit as mission enabler. That's, am I saying it well? Enabler. Merci. Thank you. Enabler. Yes. And, you know, we say that we can put, you know, add to it, why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? And also we can say, or why I must be filled with or by the Holy Spirit. Why do I need to be filled by the Holy Spirit? You know, Jesus taught his disciples and instructed them on many occasions about the Holy Spirit. He talked to them. He explained to them. For example, you know, he had several conversations with them about who, what, and why. Who is the Holy Spirit? What will he be doing when he comes? The Holy Spirit. And how must we receive him, the Holy Spirit? How? And also, why do we have to receive the Holy Spirit? So, for example, in John chapter 14, from 15 to 18, you know, he instructed his disciples. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And by doing so, you know, I will send you and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. The Father will give you another helper. That he will abide. Somebody say abide. He will abide with you forever. He will abide with you forever. He said the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. For he dwell with you and will be in you. Amen? So Jesus starts talking about the Holy Spirit. He says also in the book, in the same John, chapter 16 now, from 5 to 15, he said, you know, it is beneficial, it is good for you that I go. Because if I go, I will send the Spirit. Let's read it. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Thank you. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world with of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Is judged. Okay, so we can stop there. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. He's giving them some clues about the Holy Spirit. But it is very interesting. It is not interesting. It is actually sad that today in the church, very little we know about him, the Holy Spirit. Very little we know how to cooperate with him. And very little we know how and what he wants to do. You know, Jesus, will I say, intentionally, he gathers those who he knows will carry on the mission that he started. You know? And these are the people he's giving this particular instruction, particular revelation about the Holy Spirit. Now, but the question we want to answer today is, what is his role in mission? What is his work in mission? Or do we say, why is it that the Holy Spirit must come? Is it that the Holy Spirit come only to be my comfort when I'm in pain? Or my comfort when I'm going through difficulties? Yes, the Holy Spirit come as a comforter. He brings peace, the peace of God, to our hearts when we are going through difficult times. Yes, because God cares about us. And we care about you in this church and about the community out there. But his role, does he end there? I believe that, somebody say yes. I believe that when he comes with a purpose. He comes with a purpose. So let's see. Now, remember last time we wanted to define some very important words as mission enabler. You should record it for me and then I'm going to play it over again. So, remember what we said, how we defined that word? You know, a person or thing that makes something possible. We said that, remember that? Okay, we also talk about catalysts. A catalyst, that substance, that things that come into an environment and determine everything that happened. It determine everything that happened in that environment, okay? And it allows change and transformation, okay? But itself or himself remain integre, whole, okay? Integrity, that's French.
Don't worry.
So when the Holy Spirit comes in and completes his action, he remains whole. He remains one. So we define mission because it is very important to define mission, especially in our country nowadays. When we think about mission, we think about, you know, packing our bags and belongings and then, you know, jumping to the next flight and go somewhere. You know, we think about selling our belongings and, you know, just grab a few things, backpack, they call it, and then just go somewhere and serve God. That is not the definition of mission. That is not, it is mission, but that is not the definition of mission. So remember last time, Pastor Andrew explained to us, the mission really is what? Let turn aside and see what God is doing. Let's turn. And when we turn in, you know, our immediate environment. And that is where the mission contest starts from. So when we turn aside in this church, what do we see? When we step outside of this wall, of this door, what do we see? When we go out on our way to work, on or to shopping, whatever it is, what do we see? Mission is defined here simply by the sending of God. The sending of God. We talk about the definition of this guy, David Bosk, in his book, Transforming Mission, who defines mission as having its origin in the heart of God. God is a fountain of sending love. This is the deepest source of mission. It is impossible to penetrate deeper still where there is mission because God loves people. And that is so key for how we proceed forward in this church. We have been doing it. God loves people. There's a mission because God loves people. So when we talk about mission and the definition of mission, is simply that we are aligning ourselves to be people lover, just as God. Amen? Just one say amen. John one say amen. So let's move on. So, but what is the role of the Holy Spirit in mission? Now, this guy, his name is Wayne Grudem, and he's a great, great theologian. He wrote the systematic theology. It's a, you know, brilliant work, you know. But he defined mission as follow, or he defines the work of the Holy Spirit in mission as follow. Okay? He says this. The work of the Holy Spirit is to manifest the active presence of God in the world, and especially in church. And that is where I have a little problem with that definition. You see, because if we start putting the specific action of the Holy Spirit in these four walls, then we are in trouble. We are in trouble. The world out there will not be saved. The world out there will not see the power of God. We are in a generation now where, you know, it is not enough. It is no more enough to just preach the word of God. Every day I say to the Lord, when I pray, I say, Lord, I don't just want to be a preacher. I don't just want to be somebody who share your word. No. And we in this church, we don't just want to be people who share the word of God. We want to demonstrate the word of God. We want to demonstrate the power of God. We want to show the evidence of this word. Hallelujah. Because the Bible declared that the word of God is alive. The word of God is alive. The word of God is transforming. The word of God brings life. Hallelujah. The word of God has not changed. So why is it that we want to take or shy away from the aspects of the demonstration of God's, his power to this generation so that they may know? Do you know that prophets, kings, those who God has sent, they pray. They pray prayer like this. Lord, show your power so that they may know that you have sent us. We must see the power of God. So the Holy Spirit, what is his role? What is his purpose in mission? You know, yes, we need the Holy Spirit in the church to empower the church. We need the Holy Spirit to activate, to, you know, to revive or to reactivate, to do all these things. You see, we need the Holy Spirit to come and sanctify, to kind of bring refining fire. Flame into our life to consume all the sinful natures and desire from us so that we can be holy vessel for the use of the master. Not to be here, yes, I am holy, I'm living a holy life between my room and, you know, whatsoever. No, but to carry his presence. But to carry his glory, but to carry his purposes in this town, in this world. Amen. So let's move quickly. What is the role and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in mission? So, when in reality, you know, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in mission has not started. You all know what I'm saying. The role and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, you know, started from the beginning. From the beginning. When we see in the book of Genesis how God created everything. We're going to jump. But we discover when, you know, Adam and Eve disobey God. Even at that moment, the Holy Spirit is already in action. He's already in action. So we see mankind falling into sin. We see mankind falling into sin. And we're not going to read it. Genesis 1, Genesis 1, verse 1, Genesis 1, 2 to 26 to 28. And we go, we go on. When we see Genesis 1, the purposes of man is God creating man is that he wants to be in union, in relationship with him. Now, the Holy Spirit came. His role, therefore, is to reestablish that relationship with humankind. But let's come to the context of the New Testament because of time. And I'm going to take about 5 minutes and we'll finish. The role of the Holy Spirit in mission, as mission enabler. Oh, yes, that's the word again. And why must I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why must I be filled by the Holy Spirit? Jesus says this to his disciples. And especially when we go through the book of Acts, we see Jesus saying to his disciples, don't go from this place. You must stay. And you must stay. Why must you stay in this town? You must stay for the Holy Spirit to come. So, the number one purpose of the Holy Spirit when he comes Acts chapter 1, verse 5. Can I have that scripture? He said what? John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You shall be baptized. You shall be baptized. And, you know, throughout that chapter, we discover that he said, you shall be baptized, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will go and do mission. You will go and do mission. Now, number one, from Acts chapter 2, 14 to 40, number one, the Holy Spirit inspired preaching. The Holy Spirit inspired preaching. You know, we preach because the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. The preaching is powerful because the Holy Spirit comes. And we see here, you know, Peter stood and preached. And the Bible says, how many people? 3,000. Yeah? 3,000 or 5,000 people giving their life to Christ just on that day. So the Holy Spirit comes and empowers preaching. That's a mission. The Holy Spirit comes and inspire. He inspire the conviction of sin. He convicts of sin. Without the Holy Spirit with us in our midst, with us moving with the Holy Spirit, there's no way that we can convince the world out there of sin and of the needs of a Savior. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's see one more, and then we will stop here. And this is amazing. Still in the book of Acts 42 to 47, the Holy Spirit inspire and empower community transformation. I love that. I love that. We are a community here. But we don't want to remain, you know, just a simple community here. We want to go out. We want to expand this community. But the only way we achieve that, with the purposes, with the fear of God, with the transformation of lives, with people aligning their lives to God's purposes, is by the Holy Spirit coming with us. Amen? The Holy Spirit inspired community transformation. Amen? So, in conclusion, I want to say to us this afternoon, we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. We cannot move without the Holy Spirit. We're talking about move. But we can't move without the Holy Spirit. As we move with the Holy Spirit. As we seek to go to another place, we move with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. That you don't leave us orphans and alone, but you sent your Holy Spirit, and even today we desire the baptism of your Holy Spirit. We desire his presence even more in Jesus' name. So Lord, as you call this community, this church, for mission, Lord, I pray that even today, let the Holy Spirit be the defining factor in everything that we do. How we move, what we do, and how we do it. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, for those of us, or for those in this place who don't even know the Holy Spirit, for those in this place who hasn't been baptized by the Holy Spirit, who has been filled by your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray now, Holy Spirit, come. And even for some of us, Lord, I pray, fill us again. Fill us again with your purpose. Fill us again with your fire. Father, for we know the journey now began for a greater purpose, for a greater adventure with you, for greater victory. Father God, for you, where we will see the thousands and the ten thousands and the ten thousands and the ten thousands coming to you in this town, in this city, in this nation, in the nation of the world, for your glory. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. You are in this place, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, and you are asking, what is he? Who is he? But there's no way you understand and know the Holy Spirit if you haven't given your life to Jesus. And I want to give you the opportunity right now to say yes to Jesus. If you have not said yes to Jesus, this is the day of salvation. This is the moment for you to say yes to him. You know, the Bible says that that God so loved the world. God loves you. He loves you. And today is the day where your life will be transformed forever. Is there anyone here who want to say yes to Jesus for the first time? I just want to see your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Anybody here? Wonderful. Wonderful. One hand. Anybody else want to say yes to Jesus? You want to say yes to Jesus? You want to say, Jesus, come to my heart. Come to my life. I surrender everything to you today. For you to use me and do what you can do. Give me a purpose. Is anyone? So, for the brother who, can I ask you to stand up, please? Stand up. Not everyone. Can you repeat this after me? This is a prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your purposes for me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me at the cross. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my sins. Today, I surrender to you. I give you my life. I want to follow you. Help me by your Holy Spirit to walk with you. In Jesus' name. The Bible says that for one that come to the house of the Lord, they rejoice in heaven. You see, I know that God has a great, great purpose for this man. Yes, yes, yes. So, Father, I thank you for my brother Neil right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you feel him, you bless him. Today is the day of new beginning for him. All things are new for him, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, for one. For one, we rejoice. For one. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. What do we do now? I do the notices. Oh, my goodness. Okay.